You're in tune to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7. Welcome to another edition of Talk Real Estate, brought to you by the Realtors of Edina Realty of Hastings. And we have on the line today the brilliant, the lovely, the one and only Christy Lundby Hill. How are you today, Christy?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Dan?
Well, you know, doing just fine and hoping, you know, we were kind of talking off the air that, you know, if you're 65 or over, you got to get on a line. You got to get on a computer for about 16 hours and sit on the phone for 24 to get a shot, right?
Oh, yeah. So you know, it's just something you got to do.
Yes. But the ending, you know what that means is that the ending is coming.
That would be so nice, wouldn't it?
Yep, I think...
It's just getting kind of old, but we all got to do what we got to do and stay safe.
Yeah, by this time next year, it'll be in our rear view mirror, so...
Thank goodness, that'll be good.
It will. Well, so what is the state of real estate like today?
It's pretty crazy, honestly. I will say that, you know, usually Decembers are slow, and I had one of the busiest Decembers. It was like every listing you had sold with multiple offers, and I think it's a combination of the rates being so low, and the weather was warm before Christmas, so December was nuts, and maybe just having the election over, people were like, all right, let's get out there now. I don't know what it was, but it was just like every listing would have, and there still are this month. We listed one in Cottage Grove, and we had 30 showings in 2 days.
Holy cow.
We had one in Lakeville in December that had 50 showings in 2.5 days.
Wow.
And 12 offers. Yeah. It's insanity. I mean, it's tough for buyers right now to get into houses. And that's, you know, generally anything under 350, maybe up to 4 even, you know, but it's a very fast-moving seller's market right now.
Wow. Holy.
And there's a lack of listings. So, I mean, our sellers are doing awesome, but I really am, it's hard when you have a buyer. You know, it's very discouraging for buyers. And so, yeah, so I thought that'd be a good topic today because the buyers need a little help, and especially from somebody who lists houses to see, you know, when I've got 6 to 10 offers on it, how do we narrow it down to the best one?
You
bet. How do you get to be that one, you know?
Well, we're going to spend the next 17 minutes talking about our topic of the week, of course, which is, like you said so gracefully, how buyers can compete with multiple offers. Holy schmoles, 30 to 50 open houses. That's unbelievable.
It's insane. And with COVID, we, you know, are not overlapping showings like we used to. So we've had to block the showing times on listings down to, like, some of them are doing half an hour. Some are doing 45 minutes instead of an hour block because so many people want to get in that, you know, if you had an hour per house, you'd only have so much time for showings in a day. So you got to knock the time down. But it's hard for people that are going from area to area. And, I mean, I'm getting calls from realtors going, I can't get into the house. It's blocked. And I'm like, there's all these showings. You're going to have to go the next day or, you know, just trying to figure it out because it's tough right now.
Wow. Have you ever seen it like this, Christy?
No, I've never seen it like this. I, you know, even before the market crashed, I mean, it was busy then, but not this many showings. But, you know, I mean, sellers, if you're even thinking of selling, they should be calling us today, not waiting till March, April, May, because right now, I mean, if a bunch of listings come on, this will change. But right now, sellers are doing really well. And, you know, they just need to move a little faster than they were probably planning if they're wanting to take advantage of what this market's doing.
Is it a fair statement to say then that that kind of interest would have an upward pressure on prices?
Oh, it is. It is, definitely. I mean, they're selling over, I would say, on average. I think I did an average of the last how many listings, how much they went over, and, you know, some of them are 5 to 10 over, some are 30 over list price. I sold one to a buyer that had over 10 offers And my buyer went 30 over, but I think it was underpriced, and it appraised fine. It was underpriced. So it just depends also, does the agent who's listing, they're trying to do a strategy where they're trying to ignite multiple offers, and so they're listing it a little low, which that one was, or are they just not knowing, you know, but even ones where I think I'm pricing it a little conservatively, we're getting bid up. I mean, it's tough for buyers right now.
So yeah. If you're a buyer, how the heck do you compete with all these offers? I mean, how is it determined?
I've got, you know, some of the things I would say is, first off, get a good pre-approval letter with a reputable lender. And I'm talking, you know, one that other people in that area will know are good, or a company that's good. Because, you know, if you're with Quicken Loans, I wouldn't even tell my seller to look at that offer. I hate to say that, but they do not have a good reputation in closing things on time, and they can be problematic. And some people have had great times with them, and some people, but there's a lot of times people don't. And I've had a lot of experiences where they haven't been good. So, I mean, if I have, you know, three offers on one of my listings and one of them is from Quicken Loans, and you can't even call and talk to a loan officer because they give you a 1-800 number and they just transfer you around, why would you have a lot of faith in that when you've got someone that's local that has a good reputation? So ask a realtor who the best lenders are to talk to so that you're competitive.
So in other words, the local, you know, the local business, the local bank is the place to be, because if you have an issue.
Not always banks. So, I mean, it depends. I mean, some banks are good, but some banks, you know, work 9 to 5 and they're hard to get a hold of when it's Friday night and you got 10 offers and you need to, you know, to get a hold of your loan person to call the other agent and tell them how great your buyer is. You know, I mean, you can do things like that. I've had that where I've had a buyer in multiples and I call my lender, you know, and it's Saturday and they've got many offers. I'm like, will you call the listing agent and tell them how strong this buyer is and blah, blah, blah. And so they'll call them and plead a case for them and say how great of a loan they're going to be and how easy they're going to be to close. You know, so when you're going to a local bank that's open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, it's harder to do that. Sometimes they're not available like that, like a mortgage broker is. But, you know, there's several brokerage companies that I know of that are, they are rock stars, and they can get a hold of anybody and they can do anything. And so I just say ask a realtor or call a title company. Who's your best people that you get the loans done and you don't have any problems with?
Well, you brought up an interesting question. So we've got your online people like the Quicken people. We have your local banks like 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. How long have brokers been around? Is that something new?
Forever.
Do they work? I've never, you know, I don't know that I've ever dealt with one.
Most of the mortgage companies you see even in Hastings, I mean, there's Bell, there's Axia, there's Edina Realty Mortgage, there's all those ones. A lot of those are brokers. So they basically go, okay, I'm going to go to TCF, I'm going to go to Citibank, I'm going to go to Wells Fargo, and I'm going to see who has the best rates. And so they broker it to the best rates. And they're self-employed, you know, like we are as realtors. So they're available. I mean, I hate to say it, but in this day and age, buyers are like, if they call you and you don't answer or you don't text them back immediately saying something like, I'll call you back in 5 minutes, they'll call the next person. And they're like that with lenders, too. You know, so the good ones are the ones that answer their phone or get back to you.
Okay.
Yeah, because you need someone who can be available when it's a hot market like this and you're a buyer.
So are brokers something that have become of age recently? Because I remember buying houses years, you know, decades ago, and that were, you know, that never ever came up.
Well, I suppose they don't call themselves brokers. They're just mortgage companies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're mortgage brokers is what they are.
Sure.
But they mortgage companies. Most of them don't hold, even banks, sometimes banks don't even hold the mortgage
right
in office. They broker it out.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think it's just important to have someone who really can, someone who's available. I don't care if it's a bank or a broker or whoever. They got to be available all the time when you need them, to get you an estimate on a house when you're a buyer in this kind of market.
Boy, it is a service industry, isn't it?
It is. Yes, you have to. I mean, a house comes up. You better get there that first day. And if the buyers are waiting too long, it's gone before they get a chance.
You bet. Christy,
so you got to be tied in with a realtor and have them watching for you and have you set up on an auto email where we're both notified when new things come up.
You bet. You're listening to Talk Real Estate on KDWA. Our realtor today, Christy Lundby Hill of the Lundby Hill team. Christy, how can folks get a hold of you?
Well, they can call me on my cell, 651-216-4676, or they can email me at Christy Hill, and that's C-H-R-I-S-T-Y Hill, or Christy Lundby, L-U-N-D-B-Y, at edinarealty.com. You can call our front office, 651-437-2121.
And ask for anybody.
Lots of ways.
There you go. Boy, you're just as accessible.
And, yeah, pretty much.
And I know that firsthand.
You just have to be available. I think that's what buyers need right now is they need someone who's a full-time agent who knows what they're doing and can get them into the houses so that, you know, I feel really bad for some buyers when I have these listings and we get all these offers and their agents are all calling me, like begging, trying to plead their case for their buyer. You know, I mean, I'm seeing letters of telling the story about the buyer, you know, good and bad. You know, when the house in Lakeville we had that had the 12 offers, I would say 9 of them had buyer letters with them. And you know what? We narrowed it down to the top 3 offers right away. And then he read the letters. So he didn't even read some of them.
Okay.
You know, and then the agent would call me after and say, didn't he like our letter? And I'm like, we didn't even read it, you know. So it just depends. I mean, you got to still have a good offer, even if you have a nice letter and compelling, you know, situation.
So let's break that down a little bit. So now you're a buyer, and we're trying. Our topic of the week, folks, is how buyers can compete with multiple offers. We talked about have a good broker, have them on standby, and do letters. And I've heard of that too. And that must be something new because I don't ever remember that in the past as much. But do letters really have? I mean, if it's a competing offer, let's say, and they're all 3 the same, that could be the tipping point.
You know, I think it does a little bit. Our house in one of our listings, okay, so we had several offers on it. He picked, there were several that were competing and very similar, and went with the one with the most down, you know, because you'd think that'd be the strongest. So it was like 20% down instead of many of them were 5% down or something, or less. So we went with that one. Then they did an inspection, and then the buyer backed out. For something that really wasn't that big of a deal, but something freaked him out. So I called back all the other agents who had offers, and we had 3 new offers from those ones immediately. And then the seller said, I should have looked at the letters. He didn't want to the first time. Because after he looked at the letters, he said, this is a family home. I want a family in here. And so he honestly picked somebody with kids over the other 2 that were single with dogs. So you just never know what a seller's going to pick. I mean, he just felt like it was his family home and that was something important to him. And so his wife was like, we should have looked at the letters, you know. So the second time around, he did. So you don't know. I mean, I asked him, do you want to see the letters? Do you not want to see the letters? Do you want that to influence you or not? So it just depends. A buyer's letter can be influential.
Okay.
You never know what the situation is from the previous people. I mean, I had another seller once who had lost his wife a year ago. And so, you know, one of the letters talked about they had lost someone in their family. And so I think, you know, so you just don't know. I mean, buyers are trying it. It can't hurt when you're in multiples and you're trying to, you know, if it's an estate or something and there's not emotions involved, but when somebody's been in a house for a long time, emotions are involved.
Okay. How long has that concept been going on?
I've seen letters for many years, but it's been very sporadic and only on occasion that you would see them until more in the last couple of years when you get seller's markets and competing offers, then I'm seeing it more.
Okay. Okay. So now we
more
have...
More and more. I mean, even more.
Okay. So it might be becoming a trend, huh?
Yeah.
So, okay, so now we have possible letter writing. We have, you know, have a good broker at your beck and call. What are some
and
of
lender,
the...
Yep.
And lender, slash lender. So what else can you do to compete with multiple offers?
Well, I would say in this market, I mean, you used to, even a year ago, with almost every sale, you would see buyers either upping the price for their closing costs, or almost always, if it was on the market a few weeks or something, coming in and trying to negotiate for some closing costs. I don't know where the buyers are getting the cash right now, but they're not even asking for closing costs, hardly ever. Out of like 12 offers I got, I think two asked for closing costs. And what they did is they upped the price even more. So their offer looked huge, but they were upping it and then upping it for their closing costs. And a seller's going to say, this other offer doesn't have closing costs, I don't have to worry about it appraising even more just for your closing costs.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're competing, if there's a way you can do it without closing costs. So ways you can do it without closing costs is, I've got one buyer doing a Minnesota Housing first-time home buyer program, and she's getting down payment assistance that's helping with her closing costs. So she's not having to come in with a lot. There's other ways, like the lender, the rates are so low. Let's just say they're 2.5. Well, what if you up the rate to 3%? The buyer might be, or the lender might be able to eat some of your closing costs then.
Oh.
So they basically up the rate and then lower your closing costs a little bit. So instead of you coming in with $7,000 in closing costs, they might make it down to $3,000. You know, so, or they're taking out from 401ks or borrowing from parents, or it's tough for first-time home buyers because of the multiple offers. But it is tough when they need closing costs.
So do you, in your opinion, we have about a minute left. In your opinion, Christy, the only thing that's going to slow this down a little bit is to get more product on the market?
Absolutely. Okay. Yep, we need listings pretty bad. And sellers are doing great now. So, I mean, if somebody's thinking about doing it this year, I mean, I would give us a call and consider doing it now while it's good, because I don't know what's going to be in 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do a show on that in 3 months, I guess.
There you go. Well, what a great, I mean, you're exactly right. If you're sitting on the fence, boy, there is no time better than this than to jump off right now. And who knows, 3 months is a long time in real estate.
Yeah, if a bunch of listings come on, this could change a little bit.
There you go. Then,
so,
yeah,
who knows?
Exactly. More product, you know, less buyers. There. Supply and demand. You bet.
Yep.
Christy, one more time before we go, you're listening to Talk Real Estate, our realtor today, Christy Lundby Hill from the Lundby Hill team. Christy, how can folks get a hold of you?
They can give me a call at 651-216-4676. Call our office at 437-2121, or they can email me at christyhill@edinarealty.com. Or you can go on the Edina Realty website and look up any agents or offices, and you'll find the Lundby Hill team.
There you go. Christy, thank you very much. It's always a lot of fun, and boy, does the time fly by.
I know. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
All right.
You've been listening to Talk Real Estate on KDWA. Again, our realtor, Christy Lundby Hill. Folks, if you want to get a hold of Christy, you can call her on her cell phone, 651-216-4676, or call the local Hastings Edina Realty office at 651-437-2121 and ask for the Lundby Hill team. This is KDWA Hastings.